companies.
We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City, Oklahoma. Tuesday, big Tuesday. See what the temperatures are looking like. Oh, I guess you guys can tell I'm not live from the wheat field today. A little too much humidity, so they weren't going to be firing the combines up. So we'll try it again tomorrow. As farmers, you learn to be flexible. So anyway, man, looks like, what is that? Where is that? Fairview, you're the hot spot in the whole state of Oklahoma. 83 degrees, 76 at Arnett, 78 at Slapout, 79 at the May Ranch, 76 at Eric, 76 at Hollis, same at Hobart, 76 out here in the Panhandle, big state of Texas, 75 at Lipscomb, 72 at Dozer, 74 at Wellington. Odell is 71 degrees. And man, down in there around, what is that? Truscott, is that, am I saying that right? And Hackberry and Guthrie down in there, just southwest of Odell, down in there, 6, 7, 8 inches of rain. Their ponds are full, I bet. Anyway, a lot of rain. That cloud just hung out there last night or yesterday afternoon, last night, and it just now started moving out of there. So anyway, didn't need that, but anyway, it's that's a lot of rainfall. So anyway, I think our chances, we might have some misty sprinkles this afternoon, but that's about it for us. And got lots going on today. If he's at the ranch, if I can get a hold of him, if he's got phone service, we'll have Brandon Hickey on here in the second segment on see what happened at the Elk City in the Western Oklahoma livestock auction. Looks like they had some good sales. And then coming up in the last segment, I just got verification, Nakona Cook, fire chief at the Cloud Chief Fire Department, is going to come on and tell us about the Wheatfield fire that was happened Sunday, where Colony and Cloud Chief had damaged fire trucks. And that was not just wheat stubble. That was a lot of it. Big portion of that was actually unharvested wheat. They had another one this morning, from my understanding. And so anyway, we'll have him coming up. So let's get started. Let's see. Oh, wait, breaking news. That's my favorite word right now. Breaking news. I picked my first mater yesterday. It was about not quite half red. Anyway, I went ahead and picked it. And of course, there was a wormhole in it. But anyway, I'm going to let it finish ripening so I can get a taste test on it. And then, I don't know, somebody, I bet I can find somebody who'll eat the worm. I mean, there's a lot of guys that do it with tequila. Why not with a tomato? So anyway, I'm excited. And I can't tell you how excited I am, because this one here is about, it was almost the size of a softball. And so it's a Florida 91. And I got a bunch more about that size. So anyway, I'm excited about that. All right, let's get on with the ag news. Let's see first what happened overnight. And there's positive things going on right now. The wheat is on the coming back up. Not enough yet, but it at least it's turned around a little bit. Soybean futures were lower in overnight trading as planting and emergence moved forward, and the first conditions report of the season showed U.S. crops off to a solid start. About 87% of the U.S. soybeans were planted as of Sunday, up from 78% a week earlier and ahead of the prior five-year average of 84%, according to the USDA. 72% of the crop was rated good or excellent as of the start of the week, and 59%, that's up from 59% last year. Corn futures were a little changed overnight as 95% of the crop was planted this week, up from 91% 7 days prior and on par with the average. Some 74% of the crop was in good or excellent condition, down a percentage point week to week, but well ahead of the 61% last year. Spring wheat was 87% emerged, and 72% of the crop earned top ratings versus 78% and 74% a week earlier. The U.S. winter wheat harvest is picking up steam, with 12% now in the bin, up from 6% a week earlier. About 47% of the crop was in the good or excellent condition as of Sunday, down from 49% a week earlier, but up from 38% that received top ratings last year. Soybeans for July delivery fell 4 cents to 11.84 and a quarter a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up 60 cents to 368.60 a short ton, and soy oil declined 0.25 cents to 43.42 a pound. Corn futures were up a penny to 452 and three quarter a bushel. Wheat for July delivery rose a penny to 608 and a half in Chicago overnight, and Kansas City futures fell 2 cents to 641 and three quarter a bushel. Inspections of corn, wheat, and soybeans for export all declined week to week. According to data from the Ag Department, corn assessments in the 7 days that ended on June the 6th were reported at 1.34 million metric tons. That's down from 1.42 a week earlier, but a little higher than last year at 1.17. Wheat inspections came in at 352,202 tons. That's down from 427,000 tons a week earlier, but higher than the 247,000 last year. Examinations of soybeans of offshore delivery declined to 231,000 tons from 361,000 tons, but still up from 147,000 tons last year. Since the start of the marketing year, the government has inspected 39.1 million tons of corn for delivery, up from 31 million last year. Soybean inspections now stand at 40.5 million, down from 48.8 million last year. Wheat assessments in the first few days of the 24-25 marketing year that started on June 1st are at 296,000 tons. That's down from the 318,000 tons last year. Not much going on with weather, but hot weather is in the forecast to move back in the area starting Thursday. Temperatures will reach in the triple digits in central Missouri and extreme eastern Kansas tomorrow, so northeastern Oklahoma will be getting it. Anyway, looks like they might have some strong storms moving in after that extreme heat. So, okay, just in case I do get a hold of Brandon, let's go ahead and do the Lipscomb Dealerships Ag Market Update. Corn for July, 456, up to September's unchanged at 456. And then soybeans for July, 1186, down 2. August is 1177, down 5.5. Yep, there we go. It moved on me. Soybean meal for July, 362.70, down 5.30. August, 355.40, down 4. Soybean oil for July, 43.78, up 12. August is 44.03, up 13. Hard red winter wheat, July, 6.56, up 13 today. And cotton, July, 72.88, up 107. Live cattle for June is at 184.05, up 12. August is down 50 at 179.47. Feeder cattle for August, 257.87, down 77. September, 259, down 72. Lean hogs are also in the red. Looks like June, 91.87, down 37. July is 92.65, down 25. The Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ are all in the red today. I'm going to say it's because Hunter Biden got, he's guilty on his gun charges. I think that's probably what's affecting that. Just kidding. West Texas crude oil, July, $78.27, up 53 cents. And natural gas, July, $3.04. First time I've seen it over $3 in a long time. Up 14 today. So looking good. Today is the Stockman's Vet Clinic happy hour, all hour. More on that coming up about with Dr. Taylor and Ronnie and Christy and who else? Madison. And I don't know all the dogs' names, so I can't name them all off. Anyway, we'll have that coming up. And let me see if I can go get a hold of Mr. Brandon Hickey so we can see if we can get a report from the ranch today. Anyway, be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
NH Feed and Supply carries nothing but the best brands, including that tried and true Stillwater Milling, Cross Brand Horse Feed, Antler Max Deer Protein, and so much more. NH also has a diverse selection of hay, and don't forget about those hassle-free, biodegradable lick tubs. NH Feed and Supply is the place to shop for all your farm, ranch, and hunting needs. NH serving the area since 1926. Visit your local NH and they'll get you all fixed up.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
Hey, farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre, and we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb, good people, great deals in Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, June 10th. 1,210 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 337 brought 391. 8 at 405 brought 351. 7 at 754 brought 248. 6 at 775 brought 215. 39 at 835 brought 254. 91 at 859 brought 231.50. 4 at 890 brought 234. 5 head of heifers at 543 brought 246. 3 at 595 brought 238. 14 at 640 brought 255. 8 at 706 brought 239. 24 at 835 brought 224. 11 at 836 brought 229. 21 at 965 brought 203. Butcher cows were 103 to 155. Butcher bulls brought 146 to 191. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6097.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Well, I didn't get a hold of Brandon up there. Maybe he'll call, ride his horse to the top of the hill or something. Give me a call back here in just a minute. We'll find out. First, let's do an update on Panhandle of Texas ag weather. Let's go with Goodlet. 75 degrees, humidity's 80%, dew point 68. The winds are out of the northwest at 2 miles an hour with wind gust all the way up to 4. Peak wind gust today, 18 miles an hour. 1.40 inches of rain so far in the month of June. And 8-inch soil temperature is 77 degrees. There you have it. Today is Hay Day Tuesday, so let's go ahead and do some hay market updates. Well, see. To me, looking at these numbers, nothing crazy is going on with the hay market. Actually, nothing's going on with the market from what I can see. Let's look at the surrounding states and us, see what's happening. Let's start out with alfalfa. Let's go with premium. In Kansas, premium is 190 delivered to 300. Good is 125 to 250. Missouri's 200 to 350. Good is one, that's premium. Good is 150 to 200. Let's look at New Mexico, 200 to 350 for premium, 220 for good. Oklahoma, 175 to 200 for premium, and 150 for good. Texas, 300 to 425, both of those prices being delivered, and that's for premium. And 280 to 300 delivered for good alfalfa. Who's the highest? I didn't even check that out. I think pretty much Missouri, believe it or not. Missouri and Colorado are all topping out at around $350 a ton, and that's not delivered. Let's check out some hay prices. Kansas, 175 to 200 on grass for premium. Missouri's 225. Oklahoma, nothing available. Texas, 300 to 340. And that's pretty much it on the hay price down there. So what I've been hearing around here, do not quote me. Don't go tell your neighbor, you messing around and screwed me out of some money. Jimmy said this is what it was bringing. I'm telling you right now from what I've heard, wheat hay is going from 125 to 140 a ton. Rye is going around 125 to 135 a ton, maybe more depending on the quality of the rye hay and the wheat hay, obviously. And I wouldn't buy none right now without unless you absolutely know who you're buying it from, without a hay test. Sorry, won't do it. Ain't happening. But then that's on that. And then we got some grass hay going anywhere from 125 up to 150 to 160, maybe. Horse hay is bringing 150, 160. Good Bermuda grass hay is with no stickers for cattle are bringing around 130 to 140 premium. And I'm giving you numbers by the ton. I don't do the hay bale deal. I did see somebody here, if anybody's interested, on Tradio. That was one of the last text messages I probably didn't get announced. Somebody up there in Custer County is looking for some native grass hay bales, but it was from last year. There's 170 bales, very clean, almost zero weeds in these bales. Can load on site, located 6 miles northeast of Butler, asking $65 a bale. You got your pencil and pen handy and you're needing some hay, write this down. 580-216-9033. 216-9033. If you're looking for some native grass hay, there you go. Anyway, let's see here. What is this? I'm getting pictures of chemicals. This is what I'm trying to tell you the other morning that we got in there. Never mind. I'll discuss that. I got to go over there anyway. Do that going on. Okay, well, let's check out, since Brandon's busy or out of pocket, let's start with what happened at the Elk City Sale Barn. Oh, thank you again very much for whoever that was that purchased that cow that and baby that was that pair that all the money went into the Coulter Vaught fund at the First National Bank here in Elk City. So anyway, thank you very much for that purchase. And then let's see here. Let's start out with the steers. Looks like the 3 to 4 weights we're bringing up to $422.50 on the steers. Whoop, I messed that up. Hang on. That's why I need Brandon here. Because there, I got it. Finally, came back up. 4 to 5 weights, we're bringing anywhere from 312 to 330. Some cutter built bulls weighing 502 brought 310. Cattle out of Carter, some steers brought 318 weighing 507. Some 6 weight cutter bulls, 657 to be exact, brought 254 out of Crawford. Some calves out of Elk City weighing 672 brought 250. Looks like some steers out of Wheeler, Texas, 675, brought 262. Mangum, looks like you had a few calves coming out of there, weighing 749, brought 244. Some 8 weights from Leedy, 815, brought 247. On the ladies' side, let's see what the ladies did. 3 to 4 weights, bringing up to 342.50. On this sheet, and then some 4 to 5 weights was bringing up to 326. 5 to 6 weights were bringing some. Here's some out of Shamrock that weighed 521, brought 277. They were winged. 11 out of Cheyenne that weren't winged brought 246. Some calves weighing, heifer calves weighing 688, brought 220. And then some nice bunch weighing 890 out of Wellington brought 208. They did pretty good. All right, let's see what the ladies, the big ladies, were doing. Butcher cows up to $1.56. Butcher bulls up to $1.95. Bred cows were bringing up to $25.25. Pairs bringing up to $33.50. And then let's stroll on over there to down I-40 east towards Clinton. 1,210 head were sold yesterday. Hammond, some 3 weights, bringing steers, bringing up 391. Some 7 weight steers, a big bunch out of Elk City, 738, brought 255. And then out of Clarendon, Texas, 117 head weighing 788 that were thin, brought 267.10. But I did the number on that, and that's still well over $2,000. And then nice bunch out of Woodward, 91 head weighing 859. Brought 231.50. The girls, the heifers, Eakley, there was some out there, weighed 543, brought 246. Some 706, brought 239 out of Sayre. Out of Carnegie, nice bunch of 49, weighing 803, brought 226. And then a pretty nice bunch out of Carter, 21 heifers, brought weighed 965. Brought 203, and they had some butcher cows, $1.55, butcher bulls up to 192, and that was pretty much it on that. So anyway, nice sales at Elk City and there. Let's see here. I have a short version. Let me click out of this and get into this. Well, maybe not. Oh, here we go. Looks like fertilizer prices are trending lower according to this report I got. Most average retail fertilizer prices continue to be lower in the fourth week of May according to sellers surveyed by DTN. This was the fourth week in a row that most fertilizer prices were lower compared to last month. For the first time in many months, prices for multiple fertilizers fell significantly, which DTN designates as anything more than 5%. The price of urea was down 8% from last month. The nitrogen fertilizer has an average price of $537 per ton. Anhydrous also sees a significant price drop, down 5% from last month. The nitrogen fertilizer has an average price of $758 per ton. Prices for the 5 other fertilizers were down just slightly from last month. DAP has an average price of $781 per ton. MAP has average cost of $828 a ton. Potash, $508 a ton. UAN, $28. $356 a ton, and UAN 32, $406 a ton. The price of one fertilizer was slightly higher Then the other a month ago is 10.34.0, had an average price of $642 a ton. On a price per pound of nitrogen bases, the average urea price was 58 cents a pound. Anhydrous was 46 cents a pound. 28 was 64 cents a pound. And 32 was 63 cents a pound. There you go. That's all I got for this segment. Let's go ahead and take a Stockman's Vet break. When I come back, I'll have a little more on them. I have your ag weather forecast for update for northwestern Oklahoma. And then what have I got? I got something on here that I want to discuss with you guys. Can't remember. Oh, wheat harvest. Oklahoma Wheat Commission come out with their newest report. And I was going to go over that with you real quick. And then we'll take a break, come back, talk to the Cloud Chief Fire Chief. The Cloud Chief Fire Chief. That's two chiefs in one sentence. Nakona Cook. And talking about what happened Sunday on a wheat fire that they had to go fight. So it's that time of the year. So anyway, we'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bags, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Everyone loves watching their kids play sports, and you're going to love it even more when you see it with an LED video wall from Video Reality. Video Reality LED walls bring the game to life. Your stadium will be the envy of the conference when they see the game on a whole new level. Go big and light up game night with a custom-built LED wall from Video Reality. And just like you, Video Reality calls Oklahoma home. Video Reality, your trusted local audio-video partner. Learn more at videoreality.com.
She just couldn't get her gizzard cleaned out. She fasted all day, swallowed all the tablets that night, but there was no cleansing, so she had to reschedule her colonoscopy. Next time, no more tablets. She requested the liquid bowel prep, but there was a mix-up in the information pipeline. A couple of days before the event, she picked up her stuff, got home, then realized she'd been prescribed the tablets again. She needed the liquid for this thing to work. And there was another problem. She was afraid she couldn't take the tablets back and would either have to try them again or pay for the liquid out of pocket. So she called Colby Brewster. She explained, and he said, no problem, bring them back. She returned the tablets, got the liquid, and breathed easy. The liquid worked, and she breathed even easier. The colonoscopy was a success. That's why people choose to get the medicine they need from Grandview Pharmacy and Gifts, 1220 West 3rd in Elk City. Getting your medicine should be easy.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Freedom, Oklahoma. Here's your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. Currently, it's 81 degrees. Feels like 82. Dew point 61. Humidity's 50%. The winds are out of the southeast at 6 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 1.91 inches of rain. Nice job up there. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 77 degrees. Sunset at 8:55. 87 for a high today. Looks like you're going to get there. Not much wind. Tonight, 65, clear. Tomorrow, it's going to warm right back up. 93 degrees tomorrow, mostly sunny with south winds, 5 to 15 miles an hour. Okay, before I get into this story here, I don't think there is some left out there, but anyway, this is a tidbit piece of information for any of you guys that still have side rows. I mean, I know a couple, two or three of them, they're my neighbors, but if you got side rows, check this out. I was listening, what made me remind me to talk about this is Sean's Knutson irrigation commercial there during the break. Anyway, if you get a chance, Google Nelson Irrigation and go to the rotator sprinklers, and I got me a set order. These are cool. These are they just redesigned them. They're the newest, greatest thing for side rows. Anyway, it's called the R33 NV or the R33 LP NV. So it's a rotator. Just look up R33 rotator and you can look at all the other stuff in it. But anyway, go to their deal. Anyway, this thing has a flow rate of 2.8 gallons to 11 gallons per minute, and the radius is what got my attention. It's 39 to 52 feet, or for you guys from overseas, 12 to 16 meters. Anyway, the nozzle size anywhere from a 964th to 7/32 is the biggest one they got. Anyway, I talked to a gentleman. You can call up there. I don't know if it's I'd have to really dig deep on here on this website. But anyway, there's a gentleman you can call up there and talk to about these deals, and he can explain it. But they got a resources tab on this page, and it'll guide you through there to a YouTube page, and these things are bad to the bone. What is cool is how many of you guys walked up to your sprinkler heads on your side rows and with a piece of wire to unplug it? You get soaking wet. And it might be 100 degrees outside, but that water coming out of the well, 60, and you freeze your bones off. But anyway, what's cool about these things is there's a little valve on them, and you can turn it off and undo your nozzle and unplug it if that's what's going on. That's worth its weight in gold. But what I really like about it is, compared to the Rainbird sprinklers for the side row or whatever brand, other brands out there, these things are really more consistent in their water pattern, so you're probably going to save a lot of water. My little experiment with the wobblers, it was really a brilliant idea as far as I was concerned, but it didn't work out that way. Problem was, it didn't overlap enough, so I had some spots out there in the field that weren't getting any water to, so you can't have that, but these are really cool. Anyway, check it out, Nelson Irrigation, the R33 rotator. Anyway, I'm going to have these guys come on here in a week or two to talk about these, because this is not just for side rows. They got stuff for pivots. They got stuff for your yards and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. They're really good. They're out of Washington, I believe. Yeah, Washington. Anyway, Knutson Irrigation, one of our sponsors of the show, they are a dealer for these guys too. But anyway, I just found it online and thought thought it was cool. So mine are on the way, and I'll give you updates on it when I get it. All right, let's see here. Move on to, what was I going to do? Oh, yeah, the wheat harvest. All right, we got time to do the wheat harvest update. This is of yesterday afternoon from the Oklahoma Wheat Commission. Oklahoma wheat harvest made good progress in most regions over the weekend. Rain showers in parts of the Panhandle region delayed harvest on dry land production, but producers are hopeful to get moving again today or tomorrow. So some light showers in other parts of western Oklahoma and southern Oklahoma delayed producers in some parts. And there wasn't a lot going on yesterday, but there was some. So from what I've seen, elevators reporting a lot of movement in this area. It's been a while since I seen Carter that busy. That was that planters down there. They were busy, but that one lady that works there, she said sometimes when Brinkman was overloaded, they'd send him up that way. But it doesn't matter. It's busy. There's a lot of wheat going in the bins. First of all, let's check out southwest and western Oklahoma, Grand, Fields, Chattanooga, and Lawton. Producers make great progress over the weekend. Test weights are now coming in around 57 to 59 bushels per pounds per bushel. A large portion of this region got harvested before those big rains moved in the other day. Anyway, yields are still favorable from the low 40s to low 50s. Protein between 10.5 and 12. Overall average 11.2. These locations are reporting almost done, 85 to 90%. Down south of me here at Altus, Roosevelt, Lone Wolf, and Hobart, a large amount of progress was made in these areas. Also over the weekend, test weights have dropped slightly, but still holding a 60-plus average for the entire region. Yields reported is ranging from the low 40s to mid-50s, some higher intensely managed wheat, making in the low 60s to low 70s. Proteins 9 to 14%. These locations saying they're 70% complete. Sentinel Rocky. A large amount of the area was cut over the weekend in this region. Test weights are still holding up, ranging from 60 to 62 pounds per bushel. Yields ranging from the mid-40s to mid-50s. Some higher managed production has reports of some fields making in the 70s. Proteins from 11.5 to 12, 60% complete. Let's skip around El Reno, Omega. Let's head on over to Northwestern. Here's finally got something out. Camargo, Shattuck, Fort Supply. Producers are also got rolling in these areas over the weekend. They just got started. Much of the region has extreme drought conditions, although the wheat in Camargo area is reporting to be doing better as they had more moisture over the season. Test weights reported 61 pounds. Yields have been from around 25 bushels per acre, but down by Camargo, some higher yields around 40 bushels per acre. Proteins 11%, and these locations are reported 10% complete. In the Panhandle, Turpin, Baker, and Hooker, rains in these regions have delayed harvest over the weekend on dryland production. It's thought producers might start getting into irrigated wheat by the end of the week. Dryland yields have been reported from the high 20s to the mid-40s, depending on the rainfall and management practices. Why do they always got to throw management in there? Test weights range from 60 to 61 pounds per bushel. Proteins ranging from 12.5 to 13%. They are at 10% complete. Stay tuned for more updates on wheat harvest. Looks like we overall probably half done. But anyway, we'll see how things go. As most springtime calving is winding down, I don't know. I'm still seeing a bunch of baby calves out there. It's time to prepare for breeding season. We're here to help with your AI project needs and supplies. We can assist with everything from planning to complete turnkey breeding services. Also, as bull turnout is approaching or already here, please don't neglect to schedule your herd bulls for a complete breeding soundness exam. It's the cheapest and most effective way to help ensure your next calf crop. Spring is also a great time to treat our cows and calves for internal and external parasites as well. We are seeing ticks and lice are affecting some herds. With the great cattle prices, let's visit, make sure we are vaccinating our calves to keep them maximized, to help them maximize their health and value. We are here to help with all your livestock, horse, and pet needs whenever you need us. Stop by Stockman's anytime at 1019 South Main in Elk City or call 580-225-0200 to schedule an appointment for after-hours emergency service. Well, let's go ahead and take a Stockman's Vet Clinic break, and we'll be back. I'll have your Southwestern Oklahoma Ag Weather Update brought to you by the Hobart Farm and Garden, and we'll have Fire Chief Nakona Cook on here to talk about what happened the other day. So anyway, be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com. High
cotton. Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed. At Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
If I tell you that I'm going to fix something, you called and something wasn't right, or you call and you say, hey, I need you to make this payment for me next week. I'm going to be out of town, but will you make a note? Will you please, you know, do this for me? That's on me to do that. And if that doesn't happen, I can't say, well, I don't know who took that phone call. I don't know who agreed to do that. If I tell you I'm going to do something, it's going to get done. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes here for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with your summer cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help address your soil health concerns. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Hey everyone, this is JJ Quibido at No Limit Land Management and Excavation. At No Limit Land Management and Excavation, we are proudly veteran-owned. We deliver top-tier forestry mulching, land clearing, and excavation services across Oklahoma. We leverage advanced technology, including our Fecon Fusion machine, to ensure projects are completed with efficiency and faster than our competition. Our comprehensive offerings include terrace building, pond grading, junk removal, and gravel installation, all performed with the highest level of professionalism and precision. We are committed to excellence and reliability, transforming each property into a testament to the American dream. We are locked and loaded and ready to get your land cleared, regardless if it is cedars, elms, cottonwood, mesquite, or any other invasive trees. We can help you clear up your pastures for grazing or get your land ready to build. Give No Limit Land Management and Excavation a call at 580-303-8479. We do not give bids over the phone. That number again is 580-303-8479.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hi, welcome back here. Hollis, Oklahoma, capital of Harmon County. Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. 78 degrees, Dew point 68, humidity 72. The winds are out east southeast at 6 miles an hour. 24-hour rain total, 0.02 inches. 10-day, 0.8 inches. 0.8 of rain in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 84 degrees. Sunset at 8:52. 50% chance of thunderstorms today, 82 for a high, 64 for a low tonight, and 89 for a high tomorrow. Well, on the phone with me, I wanted to say you're the jack of all trades, but you're the fire chief. You're a board member of on the Department of Agriculture for the state of Oklahoma. You're married to Jordan, and yes. What else? Oh, you're a farmer. Yeah, and a rancher.
And I'm on a school board.
Oh yeah, school board. I forgot about that. But anyway, you're not jack of all trades, but you got it going on. How's that?
Yeah, we stay pretty busy.
Anyway, well, before we get into the story that happened over the weekend with the fire departments, you make a perfect story for a farmer during harvest. So when I called you, you were going to finish up wheat harvest today, but that didn't happen. So tell everybody what happened. You got a U-joint or something out.
Yeah, well, we're headed to the combines this morning to start servicing, and the page goes off, and a neighbor had a wheat stubble fire where they'd been cutting at. I guess they were getting ready to move. I pick up one across the field and turn around and come back, and the field was on fire. So we stopped what we were doing, went to the station and jumped in the trucks and went over and fought fire. Got all that fire put out, come back. That's when you text me. I was a little bit late getting back to you.
Yeah.
And got the trucks put up and got back to the combines to finish servicing to go to the field, and took the header off and had a U-joint out on a drive shaft. So I sent my dad to Weatherford to get parts and get a new U-joint put in so we could finish getting the combines put back together and get back in the field. We were planning on cutting seed wheat today, but the weather's not really cooperating for that. So try to get everything put back together and see when we can get back in the field.
All right. So you're almost done.
We are. We were planning on finishing today, but then the parts run and the fire this morning, and good thing we saw the U-joint when we did, that we didn't have our own fire.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Melted a bunch of plastic on the shaft, on the cover of the shaft, so it got pretty hot. So luckily we didn't have a fire of my own today. We've been through that before. I burned up a combine about 3 years ago, had a wheat field fire, and burned 150 acres of standing wheat and a combine. So I know what it's like.
Yeah, and that's not a good thing. Well, most people think of fires out in rural America where we have our great volunteer fire departments. They always think of grass fires, wildfires. Well,
right.
I was on the fire department at Foss for a little bit, and I tell you what, a wheat field fire is hot.
It is. That's one of the hottest fires we've fought in a long time. It happened to be in some really good wheat. We're estimating the wheat to be 50 to 60 bushels. It was waist high, really thick, had severe fire conditions, had low humidity, temperature was over 100 degrees, and 20 to 30 mile an hour south wind gusts going across standing wheat, and it's going so fast you can't hardly catch up to the head.
Was
and
that Saturday so or big, Sunday? It was Saturday.
That was Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday.
Yeah, it was Saturday. Yeah. Saturday afternoon. It was so hot and windy.
Yeah. Where was it exactly?
It was just a half a mile east of the community of Cowden.
Okay.
Highway 115 and County Road 1220 was a half a mile east is where it started. Just a little ways off the south road, and it burned for a full mile, and we got it stopped on the north road and the east road to keep it from crossing. If it would have crossed the road, it was a couple more miles of standing wheat that hadn't been cut yet across the road to the east and across the road to the north. So if it would have jumped those roads, we'd have been in another fight.
Well, sounds like you guys got right in the middle of it, because you had some damage to a couple fire trucks.
We did. Driving through, I mean, anybody that's drove through a wheat field knows when you drive through all the chaff and the straw and the heads, it just blows up under the pickups, around in the motor compartments and the exhaust pipes. And we try to not drive in it any more than we have to, but occasionally to access the fire, to get to where you can fight fire, you have to drive across it to get to it. That's what was happening. Trucks were driving across trying to get to the fire to fight. Colony's truck was out of water and was coming back to the road to fill up, and the debris caught fire on it, burned the whole cab, engine compartment cab, everything on it burned completely up. We got that fire put out. They got it, drove up on the road, got it put out, went around the section to the other side, and we had a whole line of trucks, because the only way to fight those big fires is to get trucks lined up and just the first one knock it down and the next one just keep going and keep going until they get them put down. Well, our truck circled around. Yeah, you just got to line up and everybody go down the row. Well, our truck circled out of the smoke to take a break, and another truck behind it saw the smoke coming out from underneath our truck. And the same thing had happened. Got all that stuff built up underneath it, got up in the motor compartment, and our truck was on fire, but luckily the other trucks were right there close. Got it put out. It was contained to the engine compartment of our truck, but after getting it to the dealership and seeing how extensive the damage was, our truck's a total loss also.
Let's see, which one was the new one?
It was our BP-14.
Yeah.
We had just put it in service at our last fire meeting. We had a ceremony. We numbered that truck 14 after a fallen firefighter. One of our firefighters that got killed was Cloud Chief 14. We numbered that truck after him in remembrance to him. Just put it in service. This was the second fire it had ever been to. We'd been to a combine fire earlier in the week. It was a pretty small fire. Got it put out. Got on this fire, and it was a 2023 F-550 that we'd spent the last 2 years saving money and filling out grants and getting it all built. Finally got it put in service, and the second fire out, it caught on fire and totaled it.
Well, Nakona, every county's different. Sales tax and all this other stuff is different in every county, all out through both states, Texas and Oklahoma. So what do you guys, you had a lot of money invested in this new fire truck. So are they insured? Am I being silly here? Are they insured, or are you guys going to start all over?
Well, most of them are insured. We put liability insurance on it before we ever drove it off the lot to be able to drive it. The way that our insurance is through the state risk management, and like any insurance, when you have a new truck, we have to itemize all the equipment, the truck, the value of the truck, the value of the equipment, the itemized list of everything that's in the truck. That's all got to be listed with values on it. We just put the truck in service, and we didn't have all the equipment on it yet. We were still adding equipment, so we didn't have the list finalized and itemized and sent in yet. So unfortunately, our truck did not have full coverage on it at the time. It only had liability. We don't have full coverage on that truck. I believe Colony had full coverage on their truck. They're dealing with insurance right now. But as far as Cloud Chief goes, I'm the fire chief, and I'm responsible for all that. And I just completely dropped the ball and did not have the paperwork turned in, so it was not fully covered.
Well, I mean, you didn't really drop the ball. You guys were still adding equipment to it, and it wasn't 100%. And who would have known, you know? That's why fires were called fires. But anyway, so what can anybody do anything to help you guys out with that?
I mean, we would happily accept any donations that anybody wants to make. I'm in the process right now of talking to the state. I know the last year and this year, I too believe the state legislature approved some funding to go through the forestry department to help replace equipment that is burned in wildfires. It's a pretty new program. I don't know all the details of it yet. That's what I'm in the process of working through to see if we can access some of that state funds that was designated for this purpose, for fire trucks that are burned up that were not insured. But there's no guarantee on that yet. I think it was waiting on finalization through the state to see how and where that money was going to go, but I'm in the process of trying to get access to some of that money to help us with the cost of replacing this truck.
Well, we wish you all the luck in the world on that one, and hopefully it'll get done, because I've said it 100 million times on the show in the last 3 years. Our volunteer fire departments are the farmers and ranchers and people that live out in rural America. You're the backbone. You save it. Just like that, that combine, you guys got last week, whenever that was, that first fire for that fire truck, and then your neighbor, you know, you had things going on. You need to get your wheat harvest on, and then your neighbor's wheat field caught on fire this morning. So you're just the perfect example of what goes on with rural firefighters.
Right, and this morning we saved three combines. There were three combines in the field. They still had their headers on. They couldn't get out of the gate yet, and the fire trucks pulled in. They were on the north end of the field. The fire was out of the south. The wind was out of the south. It was coming right towards them. We got trucks pulled in there and got lined up, and we got the fire put out before it got to those combines. They were driving around in the field trying to figure out where they could go and what they could get out of, how they could get out of the field without losing their headers.
Right.
They could have dropped their headers and drove out, but then they risked the chance of losing their headers if the fire got to them. So we did save three combines this morning in that wheat field. And like you said, we're all farmers. Just about everyone on my department is a farmer full-time. Yeah. And so we park our combines, park our tractors, get to the pickup as fast as we can to go fight these fires.
Well, Nakona, my music's playing, and thank you guys for what you do, and good luck finishing harvest.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Nakona. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless.
From Shamrock, Texas to Weatherford, Oklahoma, we are today's best country.
This is my country.
KECO, Elk City.